Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. All I can say is thank you, Facebook, even though I hate you sometimes. But I was on Facebook over the weekend, and I saw this piece pop up, and it was about this play. And I wrote back, well, I didn't know about this play. Mm-hmm. And why didn't I know about this play? And so I wrote immediately. We said, we got to get you on, even though they're pretty much sold out. It's an amazing production of Romeo and Juliet. It takes place in the streets of Baltimore. In a very unique way they're producing it. But it bends race, it bends in class, and it bends in gender. It's about time. And so, and for that, Love the Poet is with us, spoken word artist and musician, who plays Romeo.
Yes.
I love that. Romeo in the Baltimore Performance Kitchen, Baltimore Performance Kitchen's performance of Romeo and Juliet. And Aldo Pantoja?
Pantoja.
Pantoja. Aldo Pantoja, who plays Mercurio.
Mercutio.
Mercutio in that as well. And so, good to have you both with us.
Thanks,
man. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah. So, what struck me as soon as I saw this, and Buck couldn't make it today.
Yeah.
But how did this production company come to be, and how did this performance come to be? Where did it come from?
Well, Baltimore Performance Kitchen is a brainchild, a baby of Buck Jabaley. And in the first season, I was commissioned to do a piece called Red Flags.
Right.
I was on here with
We did that show together, mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's a free theater for the community, and he'd probably speak better about how it came about. But this production was something that, well, what he's told us is that Sister Stewart at Area 405 has this amazing courtyard, and she always wanted somebody to do Romeo and Juliet in this courtyard.
And where is that specifically?
It is on 405 East Oliver Street.
Right, right.
And it's just beautiful. It's like you're in a whole nother world.
It's also mm-hmm. so cool that we're doing theater there.
Right. And it's outside and it moves,
right.
You know.
And you're in the middle of it when you watch this, right?
Yeah.
Like in it?
Yeah, you're
literally?
In it. You're in the courtyard.
Right.
You're in the middle of the piece.
Right.
So she asked Buck a while ago to do Romeo and Juliet, and he finally got around to wanting to do it. And the whole concept is amazing as far as the families, like the Capulet family being set in 1913, traditional, white, brown nurse, all of that. And the Montague family, my family, Marquisha's family, mm-hmm. being set in people of color, but also not. You know what I mean? We
right.
have Benvolio is Dustin, and right. he's white. We're all different, you know, ethnicities, all of that. And we're set in 2013 Station North.
So that's so cool. So 1913...
Meets 2013.
13.
Yeah. Yeah. In the middle of Baltimore.
I love this.
Station North.
It just sounds so cool.
Yeah.
And I just was just so taken with the idea of theater actually coming, being in a black working class community, being outside, being multiracial, being multigender, mm-hmm. raising issues of class and time. I just think that it's...
Yeah.
It's almost like we're not living in Baltimore doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, right. Baltimore needs this.
Yeah, and the idea of it and of me being Romeo.
Yeah.
We were just talking about just the demographic in mm-hmm. Station North, and I was like, mm-hmm. well, one of the things that I always see is it's a heavy gay and lesbian community
right.
in between Charles Village and Mount Vernon, you know. And we were just talking, and he was like, hey, you know, you want to be Romeo, you know? And I was just like... Sure, you know, I would love to. And I just say that because, you know, and I'm sure Aldo would like to chime in on it. It's not a gay.
Yeah,
gay,
I'm sorry, Aldo, go ahead. Jump in, man.
Yeah, it's not a gay and lesbian piece.
No. And, you know, when he was filling out the cast for the actual production, he reached out to a lot of people in the community itself. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be actors that he knew.
Are you an actor?
Although I am an actor,
okay, right.
But there are a few roles where he was like, okay, I need Aldo, would you like to mm-hmm. to do this piece? And I was actually like, no. I was like, I'm really busy. I just came off of doing another show, and I was like, I don't think I got some time for it. But he was like, He pitched it. He was like, Romeo and Juliet. Romeo's a woman. Station North Arts and Entertainment District. It's outdoor Shakespeare. And I want you to play Mercutio. And we talked about it more. And, you know, over a glass of beer at Liam Flynn's. And we hashed it out. And I was like, all right, I'll let's do this. I'm really game. So the casting continued.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be such a diverse cast.
It's amazing.
And
on purpose.
On purpose, I mean, but also mm-hmm. also in the very end, because we knew that the Montagues were set in 2013 and the Capulets were 1913, that the restrictions for 1913 were like, all right, we need a predominantly white cast for the 1913 mm-hmm. to be. And of course, we got a chance to do that. But for the Montagues, that wasn't a struggle at all either.
No.
So how does that work? I've not seen the play yet, but and I knew we couldn't do it.
Right.
Do the show before I saw the play, because you only have this weekend to do it,
yes.
and there aren't very many spots left.
Right,
right,
mm-hmm.
right. No spots. All shows are now sold out.
All sold out. So I can't see them. I'm upset.
No,
it
you
is
can a, see. Yeah. just come through.
It is a free production, but there are people who don't show up for their free tickets. So we do have a wait list going on.
But
you can put your name on the wait list, and
do
we'll
another
get
weekend.
You on. Talk to the
Buck.
Man. Talk to Buck, man.
If do another weekend.
Listening.
Do another weekend. We're giving you an audience. Here on WEA and Mark Steiner Show, do another weekend.
We'll see. We'll see. But we do know that we're going to have a Montague barbecue.
Yes.
For the final performance, which
Sunday.
Is on Sunday. So the show starts at 1 o'clock. Show wraps up around 3,
yeah.
and we're going to have a Montague barbecue. You know, we're gonna celebrate the run. So
how does
come
it,
on, come all.
How does the cross time piece play into this? How do you do that?
It's interesting because we play it out mainly
2013, 1913.
I think we play it mainly in because all the text is the same
text
except for we changed
same.
The he's to she's because
uh-huh.
I'm Romeo as a woman.
Yeah,
and
right, right.
but I think it's mainly played out in dress mm-hmm. and our costume designer Samantha Bloom, a student at MICA, is amazing. So in dress and in kind of technology. Because mm-hmm. there's points where you'll see our phones, you know, we'll mm-hmm. do certain things with our, you know, with our technology. But it's and in our energy, I think the way we do things.
Right, right. The vernacular of how the actors are speaking.
What
and
do you mean?
Also, I don't know. Like you can really work with the cadence of Shakespeare mm-hmm. and make it very formal. You know,
or,
and slow down, or you just can say the words as if you were a Baltimore native,
right?
You
so,
know,
and that's kind of
so,
how we do it.
And that's the advantage of.
Let's hear what that means. Can you do that?
Okay.
Just a second, what does that mean?
Let's see what.
I know it's hard to throw that out to y'all.
Like, right.
I apologize, but
where could we go with this?
The idea is that, you know, she's a poet. Like, I mean,
yeah.
she
right.
feels the words in the cadence in self and poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
But it was written in a different age. And to work and play around with different artists with that same poetry, that's the difference where we kind of do it. And what's more about it also is the architecture of the buildings. These buildings have been there since 1913
mm-hmm.
and still.
Right. Right.
There
right.
are artists and residents in that building.
Right.
So it's like that in itself, the outdoor environment, the very streets are both 1913 and 2013.
And the artists in the building in Area 405 did a they have showings.
Yeah.
And like when you
yeah,
walk
yeah.
in, when the audience walk in, they can see their work on the wall that relate to the piece that we're doing.
So have people from the community come to watch this production and part of this from the East Oliver community?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then there's certain roles where Aldo will ask for people to join us
yeah,
and
they,
actually play the parts.
We need some audience participation. Only 3 roles that we're looking for at the top. And they've been great.
Awesome.
Right?
I mean, like by the time the apothecary comes up, this person
yeah.
has been like studying the lines. They like get
yeah,
up there
right?
and they're acting.
Just somebody who
yeah, they
in.
have a sheet. We give them a laminated sheet and they read the lines. But these people are like, I'm not even going to
yeah,
read these
aren't.
Lines. Look. You know,
wow.
like who calls so loud? And I'm like, oh boy, they with it.
yes.
Okay, okay.
So see, this is the power of this is that Shakespeare is always one of the things I've loved about either teaching, directing, or acting in Shakespeare is that it's one of those things you can. He's a playwright for all time and moment because he touches
mm-hmm.
the human condition. I don't care what society when
right.
he touches
right.
the human condition. You can play it, which we did. You can play it on the res. You can
mm-hmm.
play it in an Igbo village.
Mm.
You can play it in China. You can
mm-hmm.
play it on East Oliver Street in your
right.
gender-twisting, class-twisting, time-twisting, race-twisting
yeah.
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's the beauty of it. It just can speak to everybody, really.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Right. Shakespeare has an ability to do that. And that's why after, 400, 500 years,
yes.
that it's still being produced. It's good.
Yes.
You know, it's really good. You
Absolutely.
Know? So we retell it in so many different filters and different ways, but in the end, it's a true love story, mm-hmm. no matter how you put it. And it's a tragedy, you know.
It's
something that is very akin to Baltimore in itself, mm-hmm. you know.
And it's about all the divides you can make. And more and more people are taking like the two families in Romeo and Juliet and making them be a divide around cultures and clash, mm-hmm. or between race, because it fits into that so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. And I think it's really important now, because just days before Buck and I were talking about the piece, I found out that a pastor, a friend of mine in D.C., told me that one of his young people killed themselves because they came out to their parents, and their parents were, you know, and this is happening all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, young gays and lesbians are killing themselves because they're being discriminated against, and they don't know how to deal, and they just want to love, and they're being told that the way that they feel is not okay. And they're like, okay, so I have to live the rest of my life being condemned by my own parents, you know, and even though that's it plays into what we're doing, you know what I mean? That same message comes across. You know, so if you look at it from that perspective, it's like, wow, that speaks to something that's actually happening today. And it wasn't necessarily on purpose, you know, it just is.
Yeah.
You know, so the story of forbidden love, you know.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It fits. I mean, when I told you, when I saw you on your Facebook page, I think we started this, right? Mm-hmm. When I saw you were playing Romeo, I was like, oh, man.
Especially all the news that blew up my Facebook yesterday.
Well,
you know, the gay rights.
Oh, right.
You know what's going on? The federal rights. Mm-hmm. It's just like, what a timely time to, you know, embrace this play here in Baltimore. No, you know,
I think it was so
fitting.
It is very cool.
Facebook, there you go, man.
Facebook, you know.
So now, talk about what people experience when they come to this production, especially if we can get Buck to do it more weekend. So we, poor Buck's gonna be real mad at me now. But
I don't know. He might be happy about it. You know. You know?
So what do people talk about the experience they have inside this production that's different from what you would do if you went and sat down in the audience and watched a play?
With any outdoor theater, you really, you know, you embrace the environment. You know, you're walking around in this production. We're leading you from an alley to the street to an enclosed
so the audience
kind of
is
corridor.
Moving.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
right?
We're leading you through the
moving.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't get that when you rip the ticket stub and sit down,
right.
You know.
Now, should it rain, we do have an inside plan.
We do.
Just give people umbrellas.
True. But we don't want to speak of rain.
Huddle up now.
No rain.
Right. Right.
So, but the original experience of it is that you get to see a fantastic story being told that everybody's very familiar with. I mean, and there are people, we have a young demographic that
very
comes out, too.
That's
that,
great.
You know.
Well, you know, Annie Unger, who is Juliet, is 18, just graduated from
mm-hmm.
high school.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing, amazing actress, and she has studied it, you know, so a lot of her people come out, and mm-hmm. it's awesome.
And it's so important, because one of the things that theater's gotten so expensive that communities of color, working people, young people can't afford to go.
This is true.
That's
so we separate that medium from the masses mm-hmm. when it used to be the masses' medium.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore Performance Kitchen, that's why tickets are free. You know, but like there's no excuse anymore. Like it's not about money. Like come see great art. You know, you don't have to worry about that. And if people that want to pay for a ticket, they can.
So
they
clearly,
can donate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We should donate at the door.
Totally.
You can donate at the door. You can donate online. PerformanceKitchen.org.
You mm-hmm. should do that. Support this company. Mm-hmm. I really believe it. Mm-hmm. Believe in what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
You mm-hmm. should support this company. I mean, I think that because you're doing it obviously out of the love of the art and the love of your work, because it's mm-hmm. not you're not making your money at it. Mm-hmm. It's soul and talent driven.
Absolutely.
What you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just love this. I think that this is a very important performance, folks. So you bang down the doors, try to get in.
Yeah.
And make so many people want to get in that they have to do another performance next weekend so nobody misses what's very special in this community. And next time, hit me up. Let me know this is happening the day before it closes.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's my fault. I should have had my ear to the ground, I guess. But if I had known, I'd have had you all on early.
Oh, we appreciate it.
We'll send
you
a Facebook message earlier.
Right.
Yeah, right. Do that.
Like, hey, Mark, guess what?
Something. Yeah. I'll post it. Something.
Well, if you go to www.performancekitchen.org, you can go online and there's instructions. If you see it sold out, you can. There's an email address you can email and you can try to get on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. And feel free to donate if you just believe in what we believe in, making it happen.
Well, this is something that the city needs and our community needs. This is a production company that crosses all boundaries and is bringing very different kind of live theater to our community, and I think they're doing very important work. I think y'all are doing really important
work.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks.
I could feel it the first time I had you and Buck on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I knew this was going to be this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I could feel it coming. So it's the Baltimore Performance Kitchen's performance of Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. And we have Love the Poet with us, who plays
Romeo. A.K.A. Michelle Antoinette Nelson.
A.K.A. Michelle Antoinette Nelson. I wasn't sure which way you wanted to go.
You know, that's my actress thing.
It's a great name, too.
Oh, thank you.
Great name.
My mama gave it to me.
See? So you should keep that name. You know. it's a good name. Good name. Michelle Antoinette Nelson. I like it.
Thank you.
And Aldo Pantoja, it's good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Mercutio.
Yeah.
Good to have you here.
Thanks for having
me. He's awesome.
I can tell. I can see it in his eyes. Nice, I can see it.
It could be the beard.
Maybe it's his beard.
I haven't grown this. It's been a while. I should shave it pretty soon here.
After the play.
Well, if it extends another week, then after another.
It looks good.
Thanks, man.
I like it.
Thanks. It's so hot out, you know? It's just like...
It doesn't make you hot. It just holds the switch and collects it. It's supposed to keep you cool, you know?
No, that's
we
got to
take
idea.
A break. So, good luck with the performance.
Thanks.
Hope it extends. Thank you for being here.
Appreciate it.
We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to look... there's a book that came out, a man whose work I respect a great deal, a philosopher and a thinker. Used to be a professor here, now he's at Bowie State. Robert Burt. Who put together this collection of works, The Liberatory Thought of Martin Luther King Jr., Critical Essays on the Philosopher King, talking about King in ways we don't usually talk about him. And we're also going to bend this discussion as well by bending it towards where would King be today about lesbian and gay marriage? Where would King be today about voting rights if he was here? What's he telling us we're not thinking about when we think of King? When we get his best friend, who was a gay man. We'll be right back.